Mom, Dad, I humbly suggest you save some money and shop Amazon for back to school. It's for my growth, meaning my body's growing at an alarming rate. And clothes you buy me this year will be very small very soon. Plus, the clothes I love today will be out of style tomorrow. But at least your wallet doesn't have to be my fashion victim if you shop low prices for school at Amazon. Hopefully this is helpful. Amazon. Spend less, smile more.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We rolling? Here we go, boys. Here we go.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's not just Caleb. They're ready to roll. That's what you want with a kid that you draft. I guess the question is going to be, is the speed of the game going to be an adjustment for him?
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL reporter Lindsay Theory. Coming up, author and actor Jay Ellis. NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran. Actor Eric Dane. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Coming up in later on this hour from NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran will join us from Joe Milton's Hall of Fame induction ceremony just outside of I guess what, Faneuil Hall? Let's just give it, for crowd purposes, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, of course.
So that'll be later on this hour. But joining us right here to kick off this hour, the actor and author Jay Ellis is here. His new book, there it is right there, Did Everyone Have an Imaginary Friend or Just Me? Adventures in Boyhood, available right now wherever you get your books. Jay Ellis is here on the program. Good to see you, sir. How
good
are
to
you?
See you, man.
Good to Thanks see you. You look back, great, fellas. By the way. You look great.
Thank you.
I really enjoy. Is that a corduroy? Are you wearing corduroy today?
I wore this for you, man.
Did you really?
Yeah, I wore this for you.
How did you know I like corduroy? People who wear the same color corduroy shirts and pants.
I just had a feeling.
Is that it?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we're connected. There's a cord connection we have here somewhere. I don't know.
Because it's like this. Because you were here years ago.
Years ago.
I forget what. In support of Insecure?
Insecure,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. On HBO.
Yeah.
And so, what did I say to you last time you were here?
You asked me if I was a referee.
Oh, my God. That doesn't sound like me, does it?
Come on. I had a white and black striped shirt on, and the first thing you said to me when I sat down was, so are you a referee part-time?
Oh,
or?
My gosh.
And here we are.
I guess it's better than me saying if you worked at Foot Locker. Yeah, that's probably the right?
In between shifts.
It does look like a referee
Listen,
shirt.
I need a shoe discount.
Are you watching it now?
I'm looking at it right now.
I'll take a shoe discount.
It does look like a referee outfit.
Let's not be disrespectful to Foot Locker now, guys.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. TJ.
TJ.
Back in the day. What mall was that? What mall was that?
Oh, by the way, you know when I went home 2 weekends ago?
Yes.
I went through Pittsburgh. The Foot Locker's gone, guys.
Oh,
it is no longer.
Pour one out.
On Fifth Avenue in downtown Pittsburgh.
Pour one out.
Oh, man. I was hurt. Gone.
I was an Athlete's Foot guy.
Oh yeah,
I worked at Athlete's Foot. That
Did
was my
you really?
That was my first job was working at Athlete's Foot. Yeah,
in high school.
In high school,
like
Tulsa, Oklahoma, Woodland Hills Mall. Yeah.
Okay.
I needed a shoe discount.
I understand.
That's one way to do it. So tell me about the book. Why? What? I miss because you could tell from the book that you truly did used to have an imaginary friend, or do you still have your imaginary friend?
No, he's
friend
gone.
Right now?
He's gone. He's not here anymore.
Okay. Right.
But no, I during the pandemic, I just kind of started, I was looking at some pictures and all these like kind of memories from childhood started to flash. And I started writing these stories down partly because I just didn't want to forget them. And I wanted to be able to like talk to my kids about my grandparents or my aunts or uncles or funny stories that may have happened in my childhood. And then all of a sudden I just realized I was writing more than I had set out to write. And then it just became a book. And then from there, I just really started thinking about what role does imagination kind of play in our lives and in our childhoods? And then where does it go? And why do we kind of lose it? And then how do we get it back as adults?
And your childhood imaginary friend is named
Mikey, yeah.
Okay.
He's kind of like Dwayne Wayne from Different World. It's like Will Smith from The Fresh Prince.
Okay.
It's like if these two kind of came together. I wanted like an older brother. I wanted somebody cool who could like, you know, show me the ropes and teach me how to be cool, I guess. And that's what he was.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Two good people to mash up
right
there.
Two good people, right?
Yeah.
He had the glasses and everything.
The game was thorough.
Here we go. Right there, you take a look at the cover. He's right there over your shoulder on the cover. Right there.
With the flat top?
Yeah.
Like me when I was a kid.
Because we all had the flat top.
Yeah. Right?
It was the haircut of the time.
My apologies. Is that Kid or Play who had it?
That was Kid.
Kid. Yeah. Okay, very good. Yeah, I'm on. Hair's not my forte.
But you knew one of them had it.
I did.
He worked with Stu Scott, so he had to know these things.
That's true.
Stu Scott's in the book.
Is he really?
Yeah, man.
About what?
I tell this story about how I was going to wake up. It was basically a nightmare, and I was going to wake up and essentially you guys were going to be on in the morning doing a play by play of this horrible decision that I made. And it's basically just going to be on replay on TV over and over and over again. Cause there was some witty wordplay. I woke up every single morning. That was the first thing I did. Pop on SportsCenter every single morning.
How old are you?
42 now.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Damn. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, I'm by the way, I love hearing stories about Stewart and how people used to just watch the two of us, because we were
amazing.
By the way, when you were watching it in the morning, Stewart and I were dead asleep in real life.
In real life?
Yes, we were asleep because we would walk off the set at 3:30, 4 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
And so were you living on the East Coast?
I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay,
so
you're
an hour behind.
An hour behind.
Yeah.
So, if you're watching the 8 a.m. Central Time re-air, it's 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Right.
We walked in the door of our respective houses at 4 in the morning. We were out. Dead to the world while you were waking up watching this, which is kind of wild.
Can I just ask you about that time? What was happening? Was it just... Because I think about that time. I actually talk about that time in the book a little bit. And how, all of a sudden, we now have 24-hour sports networks and news networks.
Yes.
And there's this big boom in cable television, right? And in ad subscriber television. And all of a sudden, when I was a younger kid, there may have been a handful of channels. And then by the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, there's this big boom. And so you're getting all this messaging now. I truly woke up every single morning and watched SportsCenter. All my friends did. It's what we did. I would literally starch my jeans and iron a crease.
Did you guys wear Dickies?
I used to starch my Dickies and put a crease in my Dickies and literally be watching SportsCenter every single morning before I went to school. And it was religion. All my friends did it.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like we were watching, for me anyway, it felt like I was watching two guys have the most fun on the planet with something they loved.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like a job, although I was a kid. So it didn't feel like you were working.
Yes.
It felt like you were having so much fun.
Yes.
And just getting to create.
I can confirm that.
Whatever, the stuff that would come out of your guys' mouth, I was like, who says that about basketball? It was just crazy to watch that as a kid.
We loved it.
And it felt like you were also talking to... It felt like you were talking to me as a kid on the other side, because that's how we talked with our friends.
We were like two kids, Stewart out of most anybody I've ever met was a child inside of a man's body.
Yeah.
Right. He was absolutely, he had the youthful exuberance of somebody, who was your age watching it. In a grown-ass man's body.
Yeah.
He really was just like that.
That's awesome.
And he was exactly the guy you saw on the air. And the two of us, we would just come together. It's funny that you said I was required to know who Kid and Play was because I was doing SportsCenter with Stewart. I probably learned who they were through Stewart, I shouldn't say that about Kid and Play. I definitely knew who they were. But there would be times where, he would make pop culture references and I would ask him, And he would kind of educate me on certain facets of pop culture with which I was unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And the two of us, and then I would bring that sort of stuff to the same table, and the two of we just mashed together.
It was magic.
We would open up our schedules because it was a job, and there was management, and there was a schedule, and we would learn which nights we were doing SportsCenter kind of at the last minute, right on the outset of a month. We would open up our schedules in 1996, 97, and see that we were doing SportsCenter together exclusively. I was doing it with him.
Yeah.
He was doing it with me.
Yeah.
And he came to me one day and he goes, "Are we a team?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Should we ask somebody around here? He goes, no, don't ask anybody. You know, don't ask. And then just to you know, finish up the story, since you were curious about it, when Keith Olbermann left SportsCenter and Dan Patrick had a seat empty, and there was you know, there was kind of an inside audition process going on, sitting who gets to sit next to Dan, who would take Keith's gig, and I wanted it. And Stuart got really upset with me because we were a team.
Yeah.
And he goes, we're just as big as those guys.
Bigger.
Well, I appreciate you saying
that. I mean, for me, bigger.
Right. So he was kind of pissed at me for, you know, thinking about breaking us up when we're on the ascent. Right. We're young, and we're the ones who are, you know, killing it in the mornings. So why would I want to leave that battlefield, is what he basically was telling me. And I'm just glad that I had those 7 years with him, you know.
It's amazing, man. It's interesting you say that he was like a big kid on the inside.
True.
Because that's what it felt like. I think it's part of like what I also try to talk about in the book, is like, how as an adult, how do you have that same play, that same imagination, that same play, that same creativity. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we find a way? That was a job. Mm-hmm. Again, to me as a kid, it didn't look like it, but like for you, that was a job, and you guys were getting up and going to work every morning at crazy hours. But like, how do you find a way to still bring that out in your life today?
In a daily basis. Amongst all the
chaos and the craziness and kids and work and all of those things. Like, how do you find a way to bring that into your everyday life?
Did everyone have an imaginary friend, or just me, by Jay Ellis here on the Rich Eisen Show? Before we talk about a couple other things here, I do need a little bit of background here, because in the book, you talk about your grandpa driving instead of flying and taking you on road trips. And you said your grandpa Booker?
Yeah.
Ran the minivan like Jerry Jones runs the Cowboys.
No, he didn't care about anybody's opinion. Huh? It was his team. It was his van. He didn't care about anybody's opinion. Not a Cowboys fan. But he didn't care about anybody's opinion at all whatsoever. Uh-huh. He was the coach. He was the GM. He was the owner. He might have been the quarterback too when we in the minivan.
But how does one run a minivan like that? So what, like, how did it take effect?
No AC. Music when he wanted music, AC when he wanted AC. He wouldn't stop unless it was one of his planned stops. You know, back then we didn't have like TomTom or Google Maps or cell phones that were computers.
Actual maps.
So this dude would have, he knew his stops along the way. And he was like, this is where I'm stopping. This is where I'm stopping. And this is where I'm stopping. And anyone who tries to deviate from the plan.
Yes.
Will get told no multiple times, and then you will get asked to sit in the back of the minivan as punishment for asking him to deviate from his routine stop that he had already planned out. It was amazing time. But you know, my grandpa, he didn't love flying. I think he hated. He would always get in his like brown suit with his fat yellow tie and a bag of chicken when we get on the plane, and he'd end up dropping the chicken on him and getting stains all over it. And he was tall. He's like 6'3", 6'4", so also sitting in a plane wasn't comfortable. But I think he also really loved taking me and my cousins on road trips and seeing this country. And so we got to see, you know, we saw everything from reservations in New Mexico to, you know, Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta to we had Arita's Water Ice in Philly and Giordano's Deep Dish in Chicago. Mm. And, you know, we got to see so much of this country because he was afraid to fly, but then also B, because like he loved going on road trips and traveling and showing us the world. And so many of my like summers are just like road trips replaying in my head of all the places we went.
Fantastic. Yeah. And are these memories good memories 30 years old, just like TJ's memories were of the time when the Cowboys had those good memories for him?
At least I got those memories, Jay. As a Jets fan, I'm enjoyed the glory that
by the way,
I have.
That's a legitimate question.
It is a legitimate question.
Thank you. I'm just doing the timing again. You know, you said you were 42. Question. You were talking about watching me when I was, you know, a youngin. Great
that
moment.
I
was covering the, you know, the back end of the triplets
Cowboys.
Era. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Those Cowboys. It's been a while.
I mean, it has.
But again,
Are you stayed right there? Is that Nickelback or stayed?
He's a gentleman.
As a 49er fan who grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I just want to be very clear. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of the Dallas Cowboys.
I get it. But here's what I find funny. Even though you have gotten to the Super Bowl, which is great, The Niners have gotten a longer Super Bowl-less drought than like the Cowboys.
Year. Last year.
Have gotten.
Last year. And then 2 years before that.
Have gotten.
Yes. And then 10 years ago. And then 10 years ago this year.
You know who else hasn't won?
That's three times.
You know who else hasn't won? The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, but we know that because
they haven't been there.
Jay, it gets brought up every single day. So we're
I don't want to break the tradition.
I don't want to break the tradition. There's a horse and it's dead, and we've been beating this horse. But the fact of the matter is,
I didn't get a chance to stump it. I just want to put my foot on the horse one time.
The Niners haven't won a Super Bowl since '94, and that was
word.
It's nice to have a shot at winning a Super Bowl, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, after a while, losing has to be hard, though, Jay. Like,
oh man.
Wow, just keep getting,
we're back this year.
It's like Charlie Brown trying to kick that ball and Lucy won't let it.
That would be good. That would be good for you, for sure.
We're back this year.
We talked about this the last time you were here, but it's a different audience and you're wearing something different. you interned for the Trailblazers?
I interned for the Portland Trailblazers.
When was this?
During the Jailblazer years, 03, 04.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Mo Cheeks was the coach and I was in the marketing. I was in a marketing and PR department. So I did I did PR during the day, and then with the marketing team I did all the on-court stuff.
Okay.
And we would help sell like group packages and stuff like that to corporations in Portland. But part of my internship was I would literally write press releases and apology statements for Mo Cheeks and for the players of this team.
So you've written an apology for like Sean Kemp,
for Rasheed Wallace,
okay,
for Bonzi Wells,
okay,
For Damon Stoudemire.
Reuben Patterson
for
on
Reuben
that?
Reuben Patterson
team?
When he called himself the Kobe stopper and then proceeded to get 40 every time he saw Kobe.
That was not a good idea.
It was a very interesting, you know, and I'm a kid. Like, I must have been 20, 21 years old at that point.
Yeah.
And obviously, these guys are like stars to me, and they are stars. And they're the biggest thing in the city by far. And it was absolutely insane to be a part of that season and to watch it just unfold the way it did. And also, I will say, for as chaotic as that season was and troublesome as that season was,
yes,
I do think there was also a very interesting narrative that was being spent about that team at that time, where we've had other teams that have also been in trouble. By the way, the 90s Cowboys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they put three trophies in the case.
But they won. So
yes,
the narrative was different because they won. But there was just as much trouble happening off the field back then. But I think it was interesting, the narrative that was being spun about that team at the time, because I think those were young guys who were trying to figure out who they were in the world.
Sure. I know.
But it was an amazing time, man.
So you were an intern there, huh?
Yeah.
Like, get me Jay. Ruben, you have no idea what Ruben Patterson said.
Get me Jay.
Where's Jay?
What?
Literally, I would wake up in the morning. Like, literally, I would wake up and I would read the news about something that happened. And then I would go into my internship and they'd be like, hey, could you draft a statement for Coach Cheeks? Because he's going to speak to the press today about what happened yesterday. The guys got pulled over driving from Seattle back to Portland. Or there was a fight on the court or off the court, whatever it was. It was an absolutely insane experience.
So you had one drawer with an off the court press release, the standard press release, and then you had another one. You got this one for on the court.
Oh, that was also the year that KG won MVP, which was also amazing to see because he came into town, and like getting to be there and watch that was insane. To see KG go off like that, I remember the first time they played, he had a triple double in the first half.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, this is the best basketball player in the world. Like, this is crazy. Well, this such is an amazing time.
Well, this was a blast, sir. Come back anytime. You don't have to write a book just to come back. You know? Oh yeah. And what's your show?
Yeah, I'm doing a live show Tuesday night.
Okay.
In Inglewood at the Miracle Theater. I do like a 30-minute one-man show.
Terrific.
And then after that, I'm doing a conversation with Issa Rae from Insecure.
Okay.
So everybody can go scream team.
She was
Issa
great
team
in American
Lawrence.
Fiction, too.
She was great. She's great in everything.
She's
amazing. But she's
right.
she's come on board, and she's going to be my conversation partner Tuesday night at the Miracle Theater. It'll be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Payback and Top Gun Maverick, too.
Yeah,
you're crushing
man.
It. You're
it's
killing
fun.
It.
Been a fun ride.
You've been killing it.
Thank you, man.
And then you're the hoops show that you're in called Running Point.
Running Point.
That's coming next year.
Next
to Netflix.
Year, Netflix. It's a family that runs a basketball organization, very similar to our Lakers.
Yes, indeed.
Very similar to our Lakers. Jenny Buss is actually an EP on the show.
Yep.
But it's the comedic version of, you know, it's an office comedy, but the family runs this office and what the chaos is of running a basketball team.
And the lead actress?
The lead actress is Kate Hudson.
I've heard of her.
Incomparable, okay. The phenomenal Kate Hudson.
Well, you know what? I've been in a scene with her that might be coming soon to a television screen near you in this actual program. That's where I saw Jay.
That's where we bumped into
each other. Last time I saw Jay.
You don't tell us anything, do you?
No, I don't tell you anything.
You tell us nothing.
Honestly,
well,
thought
he tells
we were
you
friends.
The Cowboys ain't no good.
Hey, listen, Jay. Here's the deal.
He tells you that. I'm sorry.
Jay, look around the room. Why? Don't let them pit us against each other.
I'm sorry.
You
know, right.
It's the Cowboy thing, though. But this is not how America should be in 2024. We should not be on each other right now, Jay. Even though you're a Niner fan.
No one's pitting.
If you'd have said Eagles, I would have been... Okay.
I would never say Eagles.
I'd have been okay.
I'd say that team that gets their uniforms from linens and things before I say the
nice.
Eagles. Let me tell
linens
you
linens and things has been called. So again, in that show that I saw Jay in, Jay plays a referee. We have his headshot. There it is. Come on, Jay.
Oh man, Jay.
Come on. How I could
this.
I not say something?
I love this.
You put that on. You didn't think. It didn't go on.
No, man, I never saw it. Okay. I never saw it until you said it. I'm being serious,
really?
Man.
Line spot.
I never saw it until you said it.
Let me get the Jordan 11 and the 13.
But by the way, look at the accomplished man. Look at the accomplished man in the smaller square on the screen.
Oh, man.
And then the man who was here before wearing something from the Scott Foster collection.
Is that wrong? You took my whistle from me that day. You were like, sir, give me your whistle. You were demoted.
I did not say that. Oh my gosh!
It was great. They had a basketball hoop in there with a scoreboard.
I used to dunk on people religiously.
Oh, okay,
it was amazing. Awesome.
Did everyone have an imaginary friend, or just me? Adventures in Boyhood, where all books are sold right now at J.R. Ellis on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for coming in here.
Thanks for having me.
Good
man.
To see you. Come back anytime. That's Jay Ellis right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with Tom Curran on what happened last night in New England. Live from the Joe Milton Hall of Fame induction ceremony. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details. This guy over there, Brockman, with his Red Sox cap over there. Do you have the David Price sound that where he was bitching about David Price after the Yankees beat him up in, what was that, game 2? Play it. Go for it for Bill Burr.
I want him to quit. I want him to retire on the spot.
Yeah, he's not going to do
that. I didn't go that
That's
hard.
What I want.
He was terrible.
Part of you, so furious at David Price.
I'm so furious.
But you were kind of feeling good, though. Like, you're getting it off your chest. Like, you couldn't
It was
have been,
therapeutic,
see,
but
that's
like...
what I'm saying. That's what's with, is there something about
name another sports fan that sees their guy?
I don't know. Just like, I'm just a much more sunny disposition type guy.
Were you screaming at Harbaugh?
This is about him. This is about how great he is. Oh, now I see where this is going. I was confused.
No.
You know, Rich, okay, you spoon-fed it to me. I want to tell you something, Rich. Out of all the sports shows I go on, I think you are the nicest, most even-keeled, pleasant, respectful to other fan base.
No, I just think it goes back to, like, the Tea Party. You know, it goes all the way back to, like, you don't feel represented. You feel like you're taxed. You feel like a taxed sports fan.
Do you feel the jealousy belt?
Don't you
feel it? You haven't been represented in the sports universe.
It's always great when I have another teammate come in to studio, because I'm teamed up against two-on-one with the New York.
Don't you hate any time, like, there's a big Boston game, what they show? They always show, like, lighthouses, lobster fishermen, and Paul Revere, like, oh, yeah, that's Massachusetts. I never saw any of that. You know, who goes to a tourist attraction in your own city?
Exactly.
You only do it when relatives come to town.
Oh, like, do you want to go?
I want to go to the USS Constitution. Oh, do you?
Here's where Cheers
is. Stand in line down there? Well, have a great time. I'm going to go to a dive bar. Where do you want to go next? You want to go to Cheers? Yeah. Just to let you know, it doesn't look like that when you go inside. So just take a picture outside.
See, Bill Burr's going to be on Broadway and Glengarry Glen Ross.
I'm curious
my
what role.
God, sign me up.
Yeah, looks so
back
good.
On the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's one of our favorites, and he's back joining us from just outside the Joe Milton Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Is none other than NBC Sports Boston's Tom Curran. How are you, Tom? Good to see you.
Great. Keep that mass hole vibe going, huh?
Let's go back. Let's go. Come on, Tommy.
So is Milton getting fitted for the red jacket? Tom, what do we got there?
Milton is getting fitted for the 2024 training camp MVP, and they're probably going to bring Malik Cunningham back for the ceremony. Nate Sudfeld will be here. A guy named Ralph Webb will be here. Patrick Pass, he actually is the chairman. Yeah, so all those guys will be here. But he was great. I mean, look, he has been captivating. Like, you know when you talk about you go past the batting cage and somebody just sounds different when they're taking BP?
Yes.
He looks different. Throwing one-on-ones, everything. You just stop to watch him throw the football because it's electric to watch him throw.
But obviously my tongue was firmly planted in cheek. Mm-hmm. But the general sense that has trickled across the country here to Los Angeles, Tom, was at the outset of training camp and throughout the first couple weeks, Drake May has set off a bit of an alarm bell having a conversation with some folks that live back east. That's obviously an exaggeration. It's just 2 weeks here. But what is the real deal? What is the real aspect about Drake May's first couple weeks in training camp?
Honestly, the Joe Milton tidal wave of enthusiasm was just irresponsible and shoddy opinion offering by others on the beat, to be candid.
Mm-hmm.
Not feeling like on a Friday naming names. But why bother? Why pretend that a guy who's running with the third team, who literally isn't getting any reps at all with the ones, when he comes out and throws the ball brilliantly, which he is,
mm-hmm.
act like he's going to leapfrog not only the third overall pick, but the $8 million a year journeyman quarterback who actually has looked pretty good. Don't do that, because it allows people like you from the outside or Colin Coward or anybody out there to say, hey, I got people in Boston saying it looks pretty good. It doesn't. He's fine. Joe Milton's fine. And honestly, Drake May is on the arc that he's supposed to be on. He was the third overall pick, but everybody understood that there was more work to do with him than Williams, than Daniels, maybe even than J.J. McCarthy. So as a result, you're seeing a guy who improved greatly in the spring. When the pads came on, he leveled off and plateaued a bit, and now he's on an arc again that is of improvement. He looks fine, but he ain't ready.
What have you gleaned talking to him at all, Tom?
On the upside, I've gleaned the fact that he really, really, really is into it, wants to be good. It's not just show. He mm-hmm. will bust his ass to be a good player. He's big, strong, physical. He doesn't kick rocks and mope around when things don't go well. He's dealt with the obstacles that have been put in his way. You know, we watched Mac Jones in our very close rear view, and he would get in his feelings a little bit when things didn't go his way. And we're not seeing that with May. He makes throws that other players have not been making for this team Even pre-Brady, I mean, you know, he runs, throws on the move, throws from different platforms. But what I've also seen is the Patriots weren't ready to draft a project. They now have the roof and still have to build the foundation, which I contended throughout the draft process was probably not the way to do it.
And so what do you think the expectation level for May should be entering this season, Tom? What do you think?
If you see him before Halloween, Rich, that's him ahead of the curve. And I just go by last night. The Patriots used him for one series against the Carolina Panthers. They used Jacoby Brissett for one series. The reason they did so was because they didn't want to leave their first offensive line out there for too long. And their twos are so bad and so inexperienced that they didn't want to risk having Drake May out there. So poor Bailey Zappe was cannon fodder for the majority of the game because they didn't want to risk Drake May's development. And that's when I contended, you know, the team's not ready for him. If you can't block for him in practices, which they have not sufficiently done, nor you use him in preseason games because you're not sure you can block for him, well, maybe your team wasn't ready to take a project.
Tom Curran here, host of Patriots Talk Podcast, also NBC Sports Boston here on the Rich Eisen Show. Walk me through the Brandon Ayuk attempt and then withdrawal, Tom. What do you got
there? Well, they got a massive amount of cap space. That's one thing that Bill had done, which is really interesting, you know, here in Boston, at least to me. Bill had a rebuild in 2021. He spent $172 million in guaranteed money that year on free agents. He also drafted a first-round quarterback and a second-round really good defensive lineman in Christian Barmore. 3 years later, the whole thing had gone belly up practically. Judon worked out, Hunter Henry worked out, but Jonnu Smith, Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne to an extent, those guys didn't work out. And Mac Jones obviously didn't. So Bill had squirreled money away to say, coming after it again in 25-24. And that's where the Kraft said, no, you had your shot, and we're not going to do that again with a 72-year-old coach who just ruined the other quarterback. So they had this massive amount of money, Rich, but they just didn't have anybody to spend it on. There were no left tackles on the market. They tried to spend it on their own core guys, but they still have $40 million in cap space this year and 78 next year. But they were so bad under Bill, and for 2 years have been so bad offensively, that they are repellent. They are wide receiver repellent for the rest of the league. They look at this place and go, my God, they average 10 points a game. Why would I want to go there with a first-year head coach, first-year defensive coordinator, first-year GM, an OC who has not been a full soup-to-nuts OC, and take the risk of having a 45-catch season? So the Patriots have to overpay their suck tax, and they're not doing so. When Ayuk gave him the high hat, the Patriots finally said, you know what? He's just not that into us. Let's get out of here.
Right. And the you know, supposition that they were doing that to develop their own, you know, was interesting. I mean, I understand.
I don't think it's true.
Okay.
They like those guys. I don't think they're hiding behind, yeah, we didn't want him anyway.
Right.
I think they're more saying, okay, he doesn't want to come here. That's fine. We got some good players here. We're not desperate.
Right.
No, they are desperate.
But
they're
not desperate. No, I
they
know.
Are desperate.
No, I understand that. But I guess the way to describe it fairly is, of course, they're desperate. They're desperate to not suck again, right? Like, this is not – nobody's used to that around there over the last 25 years. They don't want it to be another – struggle for points where you just want to just, you know, stick needles in your eyes watching it, right? Like I called one of those games last year in Frankfurt, and that where Zappe,
the seminal game.
Well, that was huge, man. That was where, you know, a lot really turned, and, you know, Robert Kraft really wanted it and didn't get it. And we all understand what happened after that. But in terms of being desperate to be good this year, we all know that this is going to be a process in building. And that's why I guess it's understandable why Ayuk would say no thanks. It's just, you know, folks there, and I don't blame them, are not used to, and I'm sure the franchise isn't used to be told you're not good enough, and we don't see a pathway for you to be good soon enough. And that's got to be tough. That's just got to be tough, straight up, man.
They return to obscurity really quickly. And they return there because the legendary head coach was asked to leave. You know, that was the only draw. And I think that we all understood that last year when we're watching the team. But you'd say, oh, well, Matt Judon on the Patriots. It's Bill Belichick. And it was Bill Belichick from the time that Tom Brady left. You could say maybe a little Cam Newton, but Bill has been the hood ornament for the franchise and the most gaudy, wonderful, you know, jealousy driving hood ornament that the NFL has ever seen. Everybody would want a Belichick. But by the end, he had done so poorly with the roster that there's nobody worth watching. And now that he's gone, people are looking at it and saying, this isn't something that I'm interested in, meaning around the league. And the only way to rebuild that, and it's interesting, Rich, the only way to rebuild that is to get wins. But the only way to attract wide receivers is if you start showing that, hey, if I go there, this next Josh Allen / next Patrick Mahomes / next Justin Herbert type player is going to be an attraction for me. But how long before Drake May gets on the field to show that he's an attraction? Or those wide receivers going to have to buy on spec next March when teams say he's going to be good. You know, he's going to be good.
Well, the question, Juju Smith-Schuster got released during this conversation. Does that surprise you, Tom?
No, it does not. It does not. He just didn't have it. Most of us projected that he would be released just because those, as they said, we'll concentrate on our young wide receivers. So it's good. It gives him a chance. He's been a good citizen, an unproductive player, but he's been a good citizen in his time here. So at least it gives him a chance to link on with another team that might have an opportunity for a veteran wideout who doesn't have much left.
And so in terms of you alluded to it before, Tom, Tom Curran here on the Rich Eisen Show, you alluded to it before about the development of Mac Jones and how the generation of him could be laid at the feet of that in Belichick's final years there. What do you think about what Gerard Mayo has put together for Drake May? Now that you're seeing it in the process right now, just the first couple of weeks.
Well, it's much more a division of power. So it's certainly not a Gerard thing so much, Rich. It's Elliot Wolf is putting together the personnel around him and Gerard is putting together the culture.
Right.
And Alex Van Pelt is putting together the blueprint for the offense. And that umbrella notion of one guy at the top of the food chain from which all knowledge flows is gone. So I think that it's a much more cogent approach. I mean, the Patriots had one of the smallest coaching staffs in the NFL, and they plowed through offensive line coaches in the last 5 years at an alarming rate. And the continuity at those positions was bad. I mean, I look back, the last two preseason openers, the Patriots had 12 penalties in each in 21 and 22. They cleaned it up a little last year, but would that lead to a sketchy year? But they just were not organized. I think there's, believe it or not, a feeling of organization and a fleet of department heads that are executing things now. I'm not saying it's cleaner, but the practices are harder. The practices are longer. The practices are not at the same tempo as Bill. There's a difference there. But there's also, we'll see how it ends up. I don't think it's going to be worse than it was the last 2 years. Put it that way.
What about the interactions with the press? How's that different?
It's more open, but I think as we've watched over the last 2 weeks, he's become a little bit more guarded as the rubber meets the road, and he understands having to navigate the Judon situation. And I did a show with Gerard for like 6 years.
Yep.
And I am able to sense his mood and his bedside manner. And I think I can tell that his football mind is starting to overtake his, hey, I'm going to do a different mind. And he's starting to put a little bit of a veil down. Yeah, it's not going to be conducive for me to explain this, so I'm not going to do that, whether it be with injuries or contracts or behind-the-scenes conversations. So it's morphing a little bit, I think. But the way he navigated the Judon situation, you got a guy who's sitting on an upside-down trash can just kicking his feet, watching the practice, and you don't like it, you go over and tell him you got to get out of here, and it doesn't explode. That was an interesting way of navigating it, and also to get Jude on to come back 2 days later and start partaking in practice. Unusual in 2024 to see that kind of an impasse not get ugly.
Could that be hand in glove with Judon getting what he wants or being told it's coming or what? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I would think so. You can't make the guy play for $6.5 million. I know, suspend all disbelief to utter those sentences, but he should be making about $15 million. You have to give him a chance to make that. Top guys, top 10 guys are making 20. He's a Pro Bowl level player. He's got to be around 15. So I don't think, especially when you miss out on Ayuk, especially when you've already missed out on Calvin Ridley, you're sitting on $40 million worth of cash. If he'll take a one-year bump to satisfy him, then I think that that is absolutely something that can be achieved.
Tom, I appreciate the time. Is that an Al Swearingen Deadwood
T-shirt?
Yeah,
it is. I wore it for you.
Wow.
That is really...
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. I knew you'd like that.
Awesome.
I went down a... I was looking. I need a T-shirt for Rich that he'd appreciate. Moved over the speed racer.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
over the speed racer.
I noticed it. We got our Deadwood hat here on the program, autographed by all the Deadwood actors and actresses guests. Don't hold it up too close to the camera, Chris, because they sign it with their favorite curse words. Yeah. You don't want to see him on TV. But
I love Swedgen.
I appreciate the shout out, Tom, and you. Thanks for the time, man. Thanks.
All right, see you, Rich. Have a great weekend, bud.
Everybody check out Tom Curran's Patriot Talk podcast and the New England Patriots Insider for NBC Sports Boston. What do you make of it?
I mean, as always, Tom is spot on and reasonable, and you know, not caught up in the Boston sports radio complex that seems to go on those days. He won't name names. I mean, I can name him if
don't
you want.
Don't have to. Don't worry about
it's,
it.
It's super annoying to see that type of stuff, you know, when it's only been a couple of weeks and then obviously one preseason game. I would like to see Matt Judon get paid because that would make him happy, and I assume he'd be a more productive player when happy.
Certainly knowing that the money's there. It's sitting there. They're just sitting on it.
It's sitting there. They had $32 million obviously earmarked for Brandon Ayuk. So where's the rest of that going to go?
You know what's interesting? What they could do, New England, if necessary, is they could pull like a Bears-type trade. Remember they got Montez Sweat last year and they got him at the trade deadline. You're like, what the hell? Why are they doing that? Because you're not using the trade deadline to improve your standings to make a playoffs. Why are you doing that if you're the Bears? Well, looks pretty damn good right now, right? Like you get somebody and then you sign him on the spot. Maybe they could do something like that and start building up
that
roster.
We'll see
in
2 months, you know, who's available.
844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. Hour three, Eric Dane in studio. What's more likely? But when we come back, your phone calls and so much more right here on the program.
This episode is brought to you by our good friends at NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV. I'm sure by now you've all gotten back into your Sunday routines, but they could be even better. With NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV, you get the most live NFL games all in one place, every game, every Sunday, and you can even watch up to 4 different games at once with MultiView, one of my favorite inventions of this decade. It's exactly what you need to catch all the action, make your Sundays more magical, and also, YouTube TV is great. I got it this year. It's awesome. Sign up now at youtube.com/BS. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
We see money inefficiency OG around us all the time. We've got a few skeletons sitting out in the open, and maybe we need to broom them into the closet, if you know what I mean.
Nope, take that out.
What is...
Whatever you were going for didn't land right. Who's got a shovel and some lime?
Maybe you need to do that with your financial picture. I don't know.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
I used to know you when you didn't have what's going
when
on.
When I didn't have hair.
What's going on?
I'm back, Mortimer.
Do you think I should do this? Do you think I should do this?
I do.
Oh, wow. You do?
I do. It, Rich, it will bring you back like no other.
But where am I now, though? When you say bring me back, where am I right now?
You're not really happy.
What?
You're enthusiastical, but you're not really happy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm happy with my head. Zoom in on it. I'm happy with my head right now. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with life. My hats have been cutting down. They were up to 5 days a week. Now I'm at 2 days a week now.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm feeling good about Prime right now. I look at myself on social media. It's taken at least 9 years off of my life.
9 years?
Yes. I'm looking like a young Prime right now, man. You know, I looked at a picture of me in my profile the other day. I didn't know if it was one of my sons or me. That's the way I am right now, Rich.
Because, you know, Suze, you know, my wife, she's like seeing you on the air and she goes, huh. She's like, what? Is that Dion? I'm like, yeah, that's Dion.
You know what she's really saying? She's really saying, it's almost like a guy. See, we can't do this. You know, if your girl starts to pick up a little weight, you really can't say it. You just, you know, like, hey, you want to work out today, baby? Not you, but we should work. You know, you can't say it. So she's like, is that Dion? Yeah. And she's just waiting for you to jump in there. It's like double dutch, and you just sitting out there. You know, and she has the ropes, and she's just doing the ropes, and she just keep looking on you like, come on, baby, jump in. Come on. Rich, you can do this, man.
No, I know I can, but I mean...
See, you got a lot to work with on the outside.
This is your expert opinion having...
Yes.
Okay.
See, you have a lot of hair. They call it donor hair.
Should I do it?
Do it, Rich.
Rich. Don't do it.
Do it.
He said don't do it. Rich, do it. You should do it.
All right.
Happy 57th birthday. Deion Sanders' 57th birthday today. We just showed a clip of him on our Roku Only segment right there. All right. Boy, there's so many phone calls here. Jimmy in San Antonio has got to cut to the front of the line here. What's up, Jimmy?
¿Qué pasó, hermano?
What's up, pal? What's on your mind?
First, congratulations to little Connor in Long Island. He has surpassed Baker Mayfield as your favorite non-biological son.
He was fun yesterday. That kid was fun.
And Brockman, why are you dissing the preseason players? Delivering packages?
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
Like an Italian Olympic pole vaulter?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's a phone call.
Man.
Hey, I got that one.
Sometimes you miss. Okay, thank you, Rich. You're a Michigan man. I expect you.
I got it.
Somber call for Chichi Rodriguez.
Oh, I know.
Oh, man.
Or as he was known once upon a time on the newsman from WKRP in Cincinnati, Les Nessman once referred to him as Chai Chai Rodriguez.
Chai Chai Rodriguez.
Was it with Rodriguez?
That, something like that.
I played that clip today. Funny you said
did
that.
You do that? Yeah. No. Yep.
Oh, did he pass?
He did.
Last night.
That movie, The Long Game, with you had Dennis Quaid in, and my father was a caddy in the late 50s. And when Chi-Chi comes along and Lee Trevino comes along,
right.
Nancy Lopez, that's when Hispanics got into golf because they saw it happen. And I just wanted to give him a shout-out and also Roy Acuff. He worked with me and Brian Anderson in San Antonio. He passed away also, and he deserves it. Ask BA about him. He'll tell you some great stories, Rich.
I will do that. Yeah. And thanks for the time, Jimmy. Always great to catch up with
Take
you.
Take care, brother.
One of our favorites right there. Yeah. You know, Chi-Chi Rodriguez is always famous for using his putter as if it was a sort of a sword, and he would sheath it. He would make the putt.
Man, I'm playing it, today, so if I make a putt, I'm definitely doing
and
that.
And he would
today.
Just put it right. Just he was great. Yeah, I always enjoyed watching him.
Character. The old Skins games when we were growing up.
Yes.
Yeah, he was always a fixture in those.
Oh, man.
That's how I first got exposed.
May he rest in peace. Let's go to Jeff in Detroit. Let's play all the hits. What's up, Jeff? How are you, sir?
What's going on, fellas? How's everybody doing?
Great to see you.
Cousin?
Wonderful, wonderful. It's good to talk to you guys, saying hi to all your backstage people, Dynamite, and everybody on this beautiful Friday.
We're good.
Now, I want to get to the preseason of things.
Yeah.
Listen, for everybody that gets hung up on preseason games, let me tell you something. My name is Jeffrey Law, and once upon a time, my team went 4-0 in the preseason.
Yes.
And we proceeded to go 0-16 to rewrite history. The Detroit Lions were the worst team in the world, so don't get hung up on preseason. I got a question for
Excellent
you.
Excellent cautionary tale, Jeffrey. Excellent.
I know, right?
Excellent cautionary tale.
With so many wonderful, wonderful female athletes bringing gold and bringing light to U.S. Olympic events, and then we have this outburst of WNBA play, and, I mean, it just seems like an empowering time for women. Do you recall another time when women's sports was at the pinnacle that it's at right now? I believe this is probably one of the best years for women's sports, because I can never remember me looking forward to the WNBA All-Star game over the regular NBA All-Star game. My goodness.
You're not wrong. You are absolutely not wrong. And yeah, once the women finish up, we're expecting gold. Mm-hmm. It'll be back to the WNBA, and then Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and the rest of the stellar rookie class's first playoff run and playoff season. That'll be new, right? During the NFL first month of September, and have the WNBA potentially bridge the Olympics into the NBA season.
It's cool.
You know, but when I say the first time, obviously it's been done before, but with the eyeballs, the expectation, for sure. I am looking forward to that. And the women's track world.
Yeah, Chikari Richardson just anchored the 4x1, just took gold.
Yeah, they're spectacular.
She turned it on the last 100 meters.
Spectacular. Every last one of them. They're great.
Real quick, Uncle. Yes. Real quick, Uncle Rich. I had a chance at the airport to see Paul Judah, Olympic gymnast, come home with the gold. And as you know, he's a Michigan man. And it was so dope to hear the entire airport terminal hollering out, "It's great to be a Michigan Wolverine."
Nice. I love it. That's great. Jeff, thanks for the time, man. Always great to chat with you.
See you, Jeff.
All right, Jeff.
Olympics have been just awesome.
Awesome. Bro. Canada just upset and won the 4x1 men's.
Oh, is that right?
Just now.
Yeah, you know what?
Bad handoff.
Back in the day.
Bad handoff for USA.
Back in the day, it used to be, you know, we're about to give you the results. Turn away. Turn your radio down. You know, Larry David's assumed tape used to be out there for everybody. But I guess in this day and age, you're getting the alerts on your phone.
Goldman a match soccer. Spain up 3-2. We're in injury time. 5 minutes of injury time right now.
Oh, is that right?
France needs an equalizer.
France versus the United States.
Olympics have been awesome. I couldn't be more hyped for 2028
here,
coming to LA. It's going to be so great. I'm so excited.
Yeah. You're going to actually stick around?
Yeah, I'm going to go. We're going to go everywhere. Oh, France has a penalty kick with a chance to tie?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Here we go. All right. Lots going on. Eric Dane making his way to our studio in hour number three. More of your phone calls. What's more likely coming up next? Keeping an eye on everything going on in the Olympics and so much more. The entirety of France is holding its breath for the radio audience. We'll let you know when we come back. Let's see what happens here. Is it without the express written consent of NBC Sports and the IOC? We'll let you know when we come back on the radio what happens. In the meantime, here we are.
Do you think you could score PK in one of these moments?
Definitely not.
I think he's going to miss.
I'm taking out Alcaraz.
Got
wait a minute.
All right. Oh!
He did score, though, right?
Yeah, he made it. Tied 3-3.
3-3. Man.
France is going to have a big home court advantage for the gold medal.
Yeah, I know.
Basketball game tomorrow.
Yes, all the fans that are there and you.
I might fly out to France tomorrow.
You're not rooting for France. You are not rooting for France.
If Tatum's going to go DNP, I kind of am.
Be honest.
I kind of am.
Be honest.
Kind of a fun story.
When Team USA was down 13 going in the fourth quarter yesterday.
I'm not rooting for France. Everyone.
I was not worried at all we were going to lose.
Are you serious?
Come on now.
I told you in the text messages.
Come on now.
I wasn't.
Come on.
I'm not, because, dude, they are the best basketball players on Earth. And when you could see when they got locked in, it was a wrap.
Well, Embiid,
man. It was not a wrap.
Embiid.
When they got locked in, it was like, it was a wrap. That
they weren't locked in the first three quarters.
Well, let me just say, no. You know what got locked in? And I know you've been carping on Kerr. Embiid, Durant, LeBron, Curry, and Booker ripped the knob off.
It was a good lineup.
With all due respect to Tatum.
It was a good lineup.
And by the way, Drew Holiday was out off. There, too, when the comeback started.
Ripped the knob off.
I don't think it was anything that Kerr was
doing.
That's
the best five that you can put out there, I think. Hour three coming up.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even like mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have, I've gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.